뭐 자식들래. It's the first look at our own mind. What is wandering in our mind? Just like you're checking the weather situation in day or time. What is time now? You are wanting to check. Similarly, you want to check the weather of your own mental environment and moment of now, what's the mentality you are in. And then rest in original kind of position of your mind. That means whatever mind arises, thought arises, that just is a good place to rest in that moment. That or place of arises of mind, thoughts, that is best place to rest actually. So you rest in your own mind. Rest in natural great peace. It's like that. And then we're going to with any activity there is must be some we can say this way. When we wander in some mind, then maybe there could be some are aimless mind. It's just doing something without thinking much about that purpose. So this is one category. Another category is worldly concern, either in constructive or destructive way, virtual or non-virtual, non-virtuous. So non-virtuous mind, of course, it's not healthy, not good for health, for this called toxic mind, right? Non-virtuous, although they maybe have some relative basis, why you're thinking that way, but outcome mostly it not very so sound. So it's not necessarily able to avoid all negative thoughts, but at least we have awareness about our own mental events and try to be, if we want peace, we want happiness, this most people want, then the way of we thinking is very important. Way of we aiming or what are we aiming for is very important. So then that means we have a habituation, train our mind to become more positive or virtuous mind. That is the source of happiness. So although you're eating, sleeping, and just resting, you have a lot of peace. Otherwise, agitated mind for longer period of time, become a habit, then it's very difficult to tame. So it's called the monkey mind or drunk elephant or wild horse's mind, like a wild horse. So it's also in some secret, important monk said, if you want happiness, practice love. If you want others happy, then cultivate, practice love. So love for yourself and for others is a very positive way. If there's a conflict between self and others, then we try to balance our mind, not to go the edge of the thinking or the extreme way. It's not healthy. Always moderate in the balanced kind of thinking. If you can, well, not saying everyone should sacrifice themselves, but if you are thinking about others equally, equals important than themselves, then most of the problem can be solved in a smooth way, in peace manner. So we are in prayer, his first praying to enlightenment, to achieve the methods of enlightenment and the effort made by group of people. So the three jewels, and also in bodhicitta mind, of altruistic mind, that means vast, all sentient beings, space covers, then there could be some wandering beings. And when time and space, there is a sentient being. So it said that there is where the mind then rises, or the thoughts, then that's all the sentient being covers vast the space. And maybe we're thinking about many plants are dead, plant even not livable for our sentient beings, but in different form capabilities, we can say also some people, scientists talking about multiverse dimensions, many dimensions. We not fully understand the reality as a normal people, not easy to understand what really reality is. So generally we just have the thinking about all sentient beings, that's enough. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness, and the cause of happiness may they be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May they never be separate from the great happiness, devoid of suffering. And may they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. And now text, or let's see, the Bodhisattva's garland of jewels. You should put number on these stanzas here. Seven, yes, here, already here. Forsake material possessions, embellish yourself with the wealth of the noble ones, void all business and distractions and reside in the solitude of wilderness. For this, like ancient saint or people, some people able to wander stay in solitude, remote area or wilderness. These are maybe for most of people live in city, not easy. But wilderness can be their own situation. They can, they have each person have some time for themselves, keeping the silent, even in one room, or park, mountains, or anything, any place that the wilderness or these can be nature of a place called wilderness. Also, that also means one person even lived in the wilderness can be still very destructive and in certain degree, maybe much calmer, but still, if you don't manage or practice of anything, then your mind is endless wandering there. So another meaning is you have to kind of purposely, have set boundaries about the worldly negative, the worldly thoughts, thinking. Worldly thoughts, the thinking means not too much concern about jobs and also money or those things, or the family members, maybe some different question issues, or some burden, or some distraction version, temptation possibly. So just let the mind have a free of any of those distractions. That's also called inner kind of boundaries. You set up outer boundary, help to see more, able to set inner boundary. That is one thing. So here, first one is forsake our material possessions, because we mostly people, when they study that, what is their per goal is to find a good job for, and a good job means market needs your profession and your skill. Some people, even parents have that mind, future, what is a future job? AI or may take many jobs and then worrying many things. So these are reasonable. We are not saying these, you don't need anything concern of those, but at least you have some other rest and practice, time of practice. You don't concern too much on those things. And then here it said, forsake your material possessions, embellish yourself with a noble, a wealth of noble ones. So the void and distraction. So for meditators who wanted to improve their ability to cut the focus and also insight, what is it means stabilizing your mind, able to stabilize your mind, and based on that you can penetrate or the illusion, delusion, that is the insight, through wisdom training, learning, and the reflection and meditation can be understand a very deeper level of mind and phenomena. That is the what's also called special insight or cultivate with analytical meditation. Basically, you have to understand the truth of a phenomenon, reality, actuality of phenomenon, that is called special insight. Avoiding busyness and distraction, of course, it's for preparing for calm meditation. So this is for purposely training your mind. After you have achieved certain stability of your mind, then if you are busy in daily life, could be your mind much calm in the deeper sense. You have very calm, how to say, like some using that sea as an example. Sea surface, there are waves, big wave, but underneath, much calmer. In this, especially very deep side, it's much calmer. So it's like that. And then after training, you become maybe in the surface level also you could be much calmer. Not only deeper side, but the surface level, you also much calmer. Mind originally like that, just in the surface six mind, level six, we say five sensory kind of sensory level of reflections or the mind. And the six is mind, home ground of mind. And the seventh, some people call it as a self-grasping level of mind. And the eighth is a storage level of mind. That storage level of mind always come. And then more turbulence starts from the sixth level. So stabilizing your mind, if, in the training, we have to avoid of much busyness and distractions. And when, as like your camera, or you wanted to shoot a photography, then you have to stabilize your camera first, and then to make sure what picture you capture of some image, you have to make it clear. If it's a very unstable, difficult to get clear picture. So similarly, mind is like a candle. There is a ability to cognitive abilities is there. But the mind is very unstable, that means candle is blown by wind all the time. So the picture on wall is not so clear when your mind is blown by wind. And then the void of this busyness and distraction means no, look, the reduce the wind. Then candle will be much easier to see behind or the surrounding images. And then special insight is like you are able to put oil or bigger fire on the candle, so the light is much stronger and stronger. Then you can see better a degree of picture's clarity. So this is the two aspects. So we should train this meditation combining or attention training and then special insight. For those, we should also same time have a cultivate with a wealth of noble ones. Some also called the seven riches, I think some people say. Because English, we don't have a fixed, sometimes we know how they don't have a, we don't have a fixed words for a certain concept. But in Tibetan, say, Papi Nurden. Papa is like noble one, the seven noble ones, seven treasure or seven riches. This. So here, second, he said, the wealth of faith and discipline, of learning and generosity, of decency and shame, or propriety, or courtesy, he's saying, and the wealth of wisdom. These are the seven riches. These precious and excellent jewels are the seven treasures of, seven treasures that never run out. Do not speak of those to non-humans. Faith, of course, related to where the, some people, the people, think of the truth. Something is true, something is false. So in Mekhar Rinpoche's definition, he said, faith is to have a vivid and eager mind towards and have a confidence in that which is authentic and truth. Authentic and true. So it supports interest. That is one way to explain. And another is this different translation. Actually, faith is admiration of longing towards and the trust in that which is true. It supports determination. Supports determination. And so generally, I think we can say faith is after there is a generally three different type of faith. One thing is just feeling that is right, that is sound for me, or I felt that is good, or you trust that immediately. Maybe not based on investigation, but just general feeling or your own experience can use for that. And second is maybe not the ultimate truth. You already found it, so could generate some faith, but the toward that direction, something, someone told you, oh, love is great, love is most beautiful, magnificent phenomenon, then maybe you say, oh, that's very true. I have this same feeling. Or one person say, oh, people, there is a possibility, always possibility, one can reach awakened state of mind. Although we don't reach yet, but we think that is able, there is a chance, there is a possibilities. Or that it's a kind of a faith of those. So another is based on through the reason and the logic you analyzed in many ways as you able to. So then you, based on that reason, you say that I have the faith on that theory or this teaching or anything like that. So, and another faith is you already manifest that fruition. So there is a kind of, you already experienced you don't shake around from that ground. This is understood by achieving that kind of faith. And also another way to think of faith is like Buddha taught for a noble truth, truth of the suffering, origins of suffering, and the cessation, past to cessation. That is a kind of reasonable cause and effect. There is a pain or suffering, must be, there is a, some causes of that. And also eliminate that cause is possible. If possible, what is the way? So these are the quote-unquote fundamental faith in Buddhism. And also we believe what you do, way of your thinking, way of lingering, use your language can create habituation. So that's all the karma. And all the actions of the three movement, body, speech, and mind can have some impact in your immediately on the after. So this is the causality, law of causality. It's a complicated, very subtle, difficult to understand thoroughly, but generally we believe that. So those are kind of faith. So do good, resultant will be long run is good. So we believe this, that is right. And, discipline have many levels of discipline. We cannot say you should all do this and that. It's difficult to say. So self-discipline is, if we're talking about, so I can say this way, discipline generally in Buddhism is as much as possible to don't harm others. So this way is one way to avoid in harming is one discipline. As much as you can try to avoid any disturbing others' mind or hurting others' physical body or animal or where are we eating and wearing clothes or walking or doing our job, anything. If you can just avoid in hurt, unnecessary or possibilities, you can, as much as you can, try to avoid harming other sentient beings. And thus, based on this, there is a individual freedom, individual liberation vows. So for monks and lay people. And the second is the Mahayana type of, particularly based on try to avoid the harming of self-discipline. There is a try to help discipline yourself, try to serving others as much you can. So it's not tearing yourself or put all the risk or devastate to yourself to helping others, but you have to, based on non-harming philosophy, non-violence, those, then you try to learn something manage the skill of art of enlightenment, like Buddhism, or you learn something worldly skill, anything like that. But based on serving humanity or sentient beings or serving others. So if you want serving others, the fundamental mind, state of mind attitude is most important. Second, you have to enrich yourself. That means you gain some knowledge and experience for purpose of serving. And then Third, of course, it's you try to see all the life experience and everything as a majestic and a pure that way. You see all sentient beings as a what do you say, dear kind of friends and brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, and see you. Basically, actually, we have a certain understanding about the illusion of this world. So the self-discipline based on understanding the truth. So everyone, each one live a short amount of time in this world, under 100 years, multiple people. So we accept this fact and reality. So make all the good cause and the condition for people. So especially people are always judging and always kind of find others' fault. Those are very tiring and not healthy. So in the end, we looking back our life, it's like a dream. So during that time, also same, like yesterday's life from point of view of today, is like a story happened something yesterday. We have different emotions, thoughts, but for time passes, now it's gone to like just like an image. So today's mentality and all the wandering mind from tomorrow, point of view of tomorrow, then it's same. So this life also from the edge, the end of this life, we looking back, it's like that. So whether it's better to see that way as it is. So self-discipline is like, so particularly like how many precepts you wanted to take, these are very individual things. But basically try to avoid in killing is the number one for the individual liberation path of the you can say fundamental part. So and also said, why not? It's impossible. You want to drive a car, the bees and the flies will hit the car. So should I avoid the car? It's not that way. It's intentionally. And from anger and the greedy mind, the competition or based on those, you know, the object here and you purposely step on that. Those are count as a killing. Otherwise, if you just walking, didn't see, and those are doesn't count as a. There is a maybe small something you should concern about all the harming from indirect and intentionally. But what we are talking about here is the you intentionally made those decision to kill, or those are the first we should avoid. And let's see, wealth of faith and self-discipline and decency and let's see, learning and learning and generosity. So learning and generosity. Of course, we understand the generosity means be kind to other people, use kind words, especially nowadays because of the so much movie, the TV social media, some picture of violence, pictures, videos, these people shooting or hitting each other. In this self-discipline, we can continue only a little bit. Is that if non-sentient beings, but if you mind have the killing mind or hatred mind, rejoice of others doing those killings, those are count as a certain degree of harming. For example, we use the video game, there's many pictures, image of a human being or animal, and you shoot, and there's also mirror, some kind of blood also come from screen. Although those are fake, it's not real killing. There's no life there, but you still can create negative karma based on that mentality. It also said in Buddha's the discipline part of Tripitaka, said when you see, when you draw an animal on picture, you shouldn't cut off purposely with a negative mind to cut the paper on the animal, on the horse or cow or chicken or anything. Draw on that, then you just destroy that. Those are also some kind of negativities. And also, if you use the ancient time, they use like a flower, made some statue, use that, you shouldn't destroy and just eat or something. Then the statue you put under tree or naturally to create it. Interdecorate naturally falling apart is okay, but don't purposely any sacred image or lives, any animal, we shouldn't these are monk vows, but we are not monk, but we of course we understand the mind can be gradually shifted on towards compassionless type of mind through the training of killing video. I remember in America also happened in some years, and maybe 5-10 years ago, the young person went to, I think it's in Georgia, Virginia or somewhere. One person have a few guns and went to university college and to shoot many people. I think 30 people dead. And this person made himself exactly like a video game. How he has the clothes wear and with the bullet ammunition and he designed himself as the character of one game, video game. This is the media talking about those. So you see there's a link from one step to another step, one mentality to another reality. So it's not very good. And of course, we differentiate the good and the virtue or non-virtue, which is aggressor, which is a victim. These we understand, but we try to, as a society, try to avoid those in a premature kind of in the fundamental level to teach people love and compassion, non-violence. We don't want the result, but we don't put so much effort on the causes level, causal level, then result, then they won't change. So it's very important to build a society as a compassionate society or compassion with wisdom. That means some people understand compassion as a whatever they need, drug or kind of self-harming tools or these, we should provide. Those are, I think it's short-sighted, not really real love. It's just wasting the many things. People also, men, precious human life also wasted, and time and those wasted. So the learning or the generosity is, if possible, not only wealth, the material generosity is there, but also it's called the protecting lives, and also wealth, the generosity of virtuous knowledge or wisdom path that share that those also consider as a generosity. And the many people may lost their opportunity to study in a college or a school, but the society should put more effort to give all necessary effort to train their skill. one person say, I want to stop my smoke. I want to quit my smoke. There is an organization or helping them or any habituation they want to transform themselves. There's a facility and a team of people who can help, they can help you. Similarly, if you want to say, I want to become a better person. I want to become a virtuous kind of, I want to learn how, what is virtue and virtuous deeds. I want to learn progress in my spiritual journey, then there should be some, how to say, kind of organization or some necessary information. I remember in San Francisco Book Library, they ask people donate books they want to send to the prison jail. And then the first number one is some books related to mental health. That is first priority, most needed book. I saw those advertisements on nearby the civic center. So it says, means the people really need inner peace, and they want try, if there is an opportunity to learn, then they wanted to improve themselves. So those study and the continuous, not only study in school way, but also cultivate with meditation, very important. So those are learning and generosity. And then decency and the shame here said, those are two terms that is especially related to Dharma. Decency, I think we can understand as a dignity or decency. Dignity, they also, Mipramuchi's definition here. Dignity is the attitude of refraining from unwholesome action or misdeeds on account of one's own conscience and trust in the Dharma. The foundation, its function is to support one in refraining from negative action. So this is one is another translation. Dignity is shunning misdeeds, either cause of oneself or Dharma. Its function is to support one to refraining from negative action. It's same, same sentence translated by different people. So it's a like inner balance. You have a sense what is right, what is wrong, according your own kind of a moral principle, or you learn from Dharma teaching. keep your mind on check and check kind of balance. What is wholesome? What is unwholesome? this is a kind of challenging one's own conscience, like that. When you have a able to judge what is bad and what is good, or wholesome or unwholesome. So these are make yourself better kind of position and a much righteous way. You can go right path. Proper way. inner balance or inner check is that. One is, another one is a shame, or this, in some certain, like a society, shame is like people yelling at each other, it's shame or something. So, feel shame is like this self-destruction, or self, low self-esteem, people feel too much shame or something. It's not a little bit different here. Generally, it is the attitude of refraining from unwholesome action out of concern for others. You first one, just the inner balance, you thinking about what's right and wrong. You have this capability to judge or to kind of analyze. And the second one is, if I were him, or may people may also have a negative reflections or negative feedback, or through others' words, if you see other one person very angry towards you, you don't immediately kind of increase the anger yourself, but think about why this person angry. From his angle, must be something wrong I did. If you go extreme, other people can go extreme too. So it's better you stay in the middle, and then other people could kind of easily come to in middle ground and work out in a smooth way. So concern of others, or if this position is me, I cannot hold my kind of anger. So I understand this person's position. It's like traffic, or this time many people have a car as a road rage issue. But from their point, they need more. Each of the side have a training of patience, a little more. And before you drive in, you made your mind thinking, if I passing this road today, any road, route or road, then any situation occurs, reckless driver or slow speed or anything, you don't immediately kind of blow the mind of yourself and then to think too much, to anger, shouting, anything like that. But you can, with courtesy, thinking about others, propriety, thinking about what is the best way, best interest of all people on the road. They will go safely to their destination. That's all. So then you have this ability to have a patience. When you need to slow down, just slow down. When people made you slow down, just don't push, just slow down. And so it's like that. It's important to have some shame. of the courtesy of others, thinking of environment and other people. And the wealth of wisdom. Wealth of wisdom, as we said before, is related towards a knowledge about causality in relative level. Causality is very important. Just to study more about the causality, there are many ways to count what is the causal level of understanding the different causes, and what is the result, what is the relation between cause and resultant, and so there are many books or the sutras talking about those. So these are important. I think Patarambuchi's definition: wisdom is identified as a recognition during the formal meditation section that all phenomena are empty, and knowledge during the post-meditation phase that all phenomena are unreal, like a magical illusion or a dream or a dream. So those related towards understanding of emptiness, interdependency. In Buddhism, of course, maybe you're already very familiar, but the important concept is emptiness. Using this words of empty doesn't mean nihilism or nothing there, nothing exists. As we see here and we can touch, all complex phenomena is there. But what we Buddhism talking about emptiness is saying all these phenomena are based on cause and the conditions in a very different complex level, then it is called interdependency. For one single phenomena cannot stand alone, exist by themselves, self-supporting self-identity and a kind of a single way cannot be there. All multiple compound, all phenomena is compound. That means everything is changing and moving and impermanence. And also that tells everything is impermanent. All phenomena is impermanent, tells us there is a non-real. There are non-real. That means, everything is impermanent. What is real? Realness. It's always moving as a society is moving toward with the time moving fast, and even in dense kind of rock or material, these are highly kind of moving in this subtle scale. So everything is changing, moving. Then from that we understand everything. So that is the wisdom part. All suffering, once medicine is a compassion, mental issue, agitation, and even animal, they are fear and they have when you see animal, they are in their eye, there is a depression, fear, or those happens, then you kind of nicely treat them and feed them and gain trust smoothly, slowly, then they are much happier and their fear gone, they feel in security, secured, then they feel much easy with you and happier. So from animal with the pets or those experienced, we understand many stress or mental issue can be reduced by love and care and genuine kind of warm heart. And the second is, if one goes beyond of that box of mental boundaries, then can liberate themselves. Well, for example, we may have a nightmare dreaming time. We feel suffocated, difficult. There is an enemy, or there is a danger, falling off from cliff, or anything like that. While we are very worrying at the difficult time, we either immediately wake up, then we felt a release, relief. We feel totally okay. So similarly, that means wisdom. After you analyze, you cross over or going beyond of dream, you waking state, then the dreaming condition, cause and condition create certain image cannot limit you and cannot capture you under that kind of circumstances. So similarly, that way of understand emptiness is quite very, very important. These precious and excellent jewels are the seven treasures that never run out. Do not speak of those to non-humans. I guess here you're saying, we are human beings. We able to understand mental wealth and especially seven noble riches. For those maybe some not able to use a human language to communicate well, and also they're not sophisticated enough to understand human. Some maybe also in Buddhism said some beings much capable than human being. Many of those, even more than maybe what we see. So we are normal. Well, our attitude is humans are the top of all species. What's it called? The king of species or something. But in Dharma, they teach many different level of God and the goddess is. So they are much capable of rest in different space and time in different way, and they are much capable also, or say, but in those areas, non-human area, someone has the ability to study and cultivate and to achieve enlightenment. There are those space and time, there's those space and beings, and some are capable, but now they are not trying to achieve in some, and also like a normal animal. They fundamentally, everyone has, every sentient being has the seeds of enlightenment, can one day can achieve, but maybe not in a form, life form of insect or something like that. So it could be in this way. So our ability is unique. We should treasure certain wealth, material wealth. Even non-human beings have able to storage, like a honey storage by bee, and also some animal will try to hide nuts in the tree, the birds, or some have a vast territory like lion or anything that they try to they have their own kind of territory. That we have a human also territorial being, in some mental sense, some sense. So we also chasing after food and eat water and shelter where we leave those economic migration, economic migration, ecologic migration. These are like, we are like animal following the season of different fruits and vegetation. So our uniqueness is like we can really train decade or whole human life to improve our inner quality. It's very unique. So it's that's why. So our time is now its end. So pray today. May the lives of the glorious masters be secured. May the all sentient beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purifying all negative karma and sweetly reach enlightenment. Thank you very much. And I'll see you next week. And if you have time, you can search online these topics. Maybe we'll focus on these, but if you have time, you can search everything you want. But I mean, Atisha's some book you want to purchase or you want to Amazon, I think many. So Atisha is one of the great master from Bengal to, he went to Sumatra and then finally he rested in Tibet. His residence is in Tibet and passed away in Tibet. So for most of the different four great lineage of Tibetan Buddhism, he's the one every all the lineages appreciate and follow his teachings. So thank you very much.